Very thankful for what Brother Larry brought forward. You know, I made a number of statements in my life, and I believe this to be one of the truest statements that you'll ever know. The greatest teacher we have in life is experience. And we go through troubles and tribulations, and we learn things that we wouldn't learn any other way. And may God bless us to understand the truth of His Word. You know, we've all got a story to tell, don't we? Everybody's story is different, but thanks God for His mercy and His grace, and that He allows us to continue on our life. I think Brother Larry made a statement that sometimes we don't talk about works enough, and that's literally what's on my mind this morning. There's a reason that sometimes works are not spoken of, because there are those people who believe that works are what gets us to heaven. That God's grace in certain works will get us to heaven. But we're told it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He hath saved us. When it comes to going to heaven, it's a gift. Eternal life is a gift from God that you and I can't possibly perform any type of work to gain or do anything to help in such a manner. In the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4 and verse 6, there's a part of that verse that has been on my mind for a while, and I'll try to speak on it. It says, "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." The Bible tells us that we were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now, good works are not going to get you and I into heaven. The Bible is absolutely clear on that. If you live in heaven in glory, it'll be based upon the redemptive work of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and nothing else. But there is a place for works in our life. And just because that doesn't get us to heaven doesn't mean we should shun preaching that truth or not looking into it. The people here had a mind to work. I've often wondered, in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, we find that the children of Israel, approximately being the remnant, as it was called, that was taken captive into Babylon for 70 years, the exile there under King Nebuchadnezzar, they were blessed in God's providence now to return to the city of Jerusalem, a place that they went up to worship God, to offer sacrifices. There are those who, in the day and age, don't want to hear things preached from the Old Testament, but let me make something very clear here about this. The lessons brought forth from this are just as applicable to you and I in the New Testament age that we live in. The children of Israel, the chosen children of Israel of the Old Testament, were symbolic of God's people out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation upon the earth that were redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's who's under consideration. Also, we need to understand that the experience of the children of Israel, the chosen children of Israel in the Old Testament, are symbolic of the experience of God's people in the world we live in today. So it says here the people had a mind to work. I wonder sometimes, did they have a mind to work because they had been in exile under another ruler for so many years? You know, sometimes I've made a statement that you don't know what you have till you don't have it anymore, but when God, through His providence, blesses you to get back to where you started, maybe that would give us a mind to work. Is works important? It says, we're told in Ephesians 2 and 10, for we are His workmanship. Understand that. That goes right along with what we stated. We are the work of Almighty God, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We were created. If we were created, there must have been a creator. That creator was God. It was His work to create a new heart in you. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. But we were created unto good works. That tells me that it was God's purpose in our life to live our life doing good works. Why would we do good works? It's not going to get us to heaven. Do you love the Lord? Are you thankful enough for what God has done for you in your life? Do you manifest that love in such a way that you want to get out and do good works? Not that you might receive reward, but that you might glorify our Father which art in heaven. We're told in Revelations 4 and 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. We were created unto good works that we might praise God, exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ every day that we live in everything that we do. We sang that song a while ago. Here in the vineyard of my Lord, I love to live and labor. Do you really? Now, I want you to understand that I believe the vineyard of God is not just inside these four walls and this roof that we have come into this morning. We are a portion of God's people in Lubbock, Texas, and a portion of the United States of America. And I believe we're to labor in that vineyard here in Lubbock and in the area in which this church exists. I believe we're to let our light so shine before others, before men, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which art in heaven. Works are important. No, they won't get you to heaven. But I hope you appreciate what God has done for you. You know, if you married a good woman in your life or a good husband in your life, thank God for sending that person into your life. I mean, you can't begin to count all the blessings that Jesus Christ has given unto you. Do you love the Lord for His goodness so much that you're willing to go out and do good works? And we're going to look at what I believe a lot of them good works are here as we go along in just a few minutes. But I want you to understand something here as we move out of this book. These people had come back. Nehemiah was praying for them in chapter 1. The walls had been torn down. The gates had been burned. And these people were very discouraged and they were in great affliction. We see that happen in the New Testament area in countries across this world. It could happen here in America. But these people had a mind to work. Do you know that we have an enemy just like they did then that surrounds us? And that enemy's name is Satan? See, the enemy surrounded them in the day of Nehemiah when they began to build the walls back. They began to repair those gates. And they were wroth. They went in and out of Jerusalem at their will, and they didn't like it anymore. They didn't want these people repairing the breaches, building new gates. Friends, I'm here to tell you that when you let down your guard, when you have breaches in your wall today, Satan is looking at any opportunity to penetrate your life and to wreak havoc on your life. He's real. Satan's real. He's as great an adversary in your life as these enemies were that surrounded Jerusalem in those days. So the children of Israel are symbolic of God's people, the Gentiles and all of God's people across the world. And their experience is symbolic of the experience that you and I have every day. We have a real enemy out there that's just comparable to the enemy that they were speaking of in Nehemiah. But these people had a mind to work. And they were working. They had a hammer in one hand and a sword in the other because they knew that their enemy was out there and wanted to take away what they had built. You know, it's one thing to build something, and then again, it's another thing to protect what you built. We're to put on the whole armor of God. Now, we think about works. Proverbs 3 and 27 says, withhold not good from them to whom it's due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Think about that a minute. Has God blessed you in such a way, given you time and ability to help someone in some manner? It's in the power of your own hand to help them and you're not doing it? Withhold not good from them for whom it's due when it's in the power of thine hand to do it. You know, slothfulness, the Bible says, which is laziness, has caused a lot of God's people to not do what they ought to do. I want to read a verse from Titus chapter 3. It speaks again about our works. And because works don't get us to heaven doesn't mean that they're not necessary or beneficial in our lives. Chapter 3 and verse 8 says, "This is the faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly." Notice there, Paul says, you affirm these things constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. If something is good and profitable in your life, why wouldn't you be constant in maintaining it? Why not? You know, it's in Jesus Christ that we live, move, and have our being. Whether you acknowledge Him as Lord of your life, you live and breathe and eat and drink and walk and talk because of the sustaining power of Jesus Christ. Whether you ever give Him any glory, whether you ever praise His holy name, even the wicked are sustained by Jesus Christ. Did you know that? They don't acknowledge it. They don't give Him any credit. They don't try to walk in His ways and live according to His word. They don't care. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They don't recognize it. But even the natural blessings of life, they receive at the hand of Almighty God. You and I are the same way. Notice what it says over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope," as Brother Larry spoke of, "in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." Do we love to live and labor in the vineyard of Almighty God? We ought to. He's been so good to us. He's filled us with goodness in this land. He's blessed us with good companions in our life, with children, with abundance of food to eat and water to drink, entertainment, and we've taken that to an extreme. But the things we have because God has allowed them to be in our life. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. We serve a God who is filled with goodness, and He's poured it out according to His mercy upon us, His people. And we ought to be more than excited to labor in His vineyard. We're told in James that we ought not to be just a hearer of God's word, but a doer. And in doing the things that God commands us, we're told that we'll receive a blessing. Now, I don't believe it should be our intent and purpose, but out of the manifestation of love that you have for Jesus Christ. He went where you couldn't go. Do you know that? He went where you couldn't possibly go. He paid for a debt that you couldn't possibly pay. And He gave you the life that you have right now to live to its fullest. And one day, it's going to step way up from that in heaven. But we need to live it to our fullest right now. We need to understand that we can't outwork the Lord, and our works ought to be to glorify God. Have you ever done something for someone that really needed something? Doesn't it make you feel good inside? Doesn't God bless you with such a feeling to know that you helped someone out that couldn't help themselves in whatever area of life that was? God calls upon us to perform those works. I find it interesting in Hebrews chapter 6, beginning in verse 8. It says, But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. I'm persuaded better of God's people this day. I really am. We have so much to be thankful for and so much to give back. And things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. What are those things that accompany salvation? You know, salvation guarantees you a home in heaven, doesn't it? You're going to have eternal life to live with God forever. But there's things that accompany salvation today, right here and now. And we ought to be willing to be true disciples to the Lord, to walk in His ways, to help others. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. You know, when we're out there helping others because it pours out from our heart, a heart filled with love for Jesus Christ because of what He's done for us, God's not forgetful of those things, is He? He's not forgetful, which we have showed toward His name in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. I told an old Baptist person one time, I said, we're all ministers. I believe the Word of God tells us that. We're to minister to the needs of others. And they looked at me like I was crazy. that's only for the preacher. No. Every one of us are to labor in the vineyard of Almighty God. We live in that vineyard. We ought to labor in that vineyard because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. The amount of labor and good works that you perform is a manifestation of how much you love the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe. If you really love the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not filled with excuses for why you don't do this, that, or the other. When a door of opportunity is open, you go through it. God never says you can walk through that door for a certain amount of time, and when you get ready to close the door, you close it. No, when God closes, it's closed. Not until then. He goes on and he says, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of the hope unto the end." With speed, continue, be constant. Those things which accompany salvation. That you be not slothful. There's that old word, laziness, isn't it? That we be not lazy. Now moving on for time's sake, and I'm for just a little bit here, I want to give us a picture, if you would, of what I believe a person that Jesus Christ said was one that was doing good works, that was created in him. Where we are his workmanship, the workmanship of Almighty God, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I love the fact that God used that word should. You know, we find that again over in the third chapter, 1 John, first verse. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the sons of God. Wonder why he didn't put the word would in there. Would be the sons of God. Would walk in good works. Because God knew that not all of us would. We should. Because we've been created in Christ Jesus. We've had a manner of love bestowed upon us that we can love above and beyond what we ever think. We should do that to the glory and honor and praise of Almighty God. But I want to go to Matthew 25 and conclude my remarks this morning for a little bit. In verse 34 it says, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." The first thing I want you to understand is here, I believe that a child of God inherits the kingdom right here and now. We don't have the fullness of the kingdom. We won't realize that till we get to heaven. But if you're an heir of the king, you've inherited part of your inheritance right now, the earnest of your inheritance, as we're told in Ephesians chapter 1. So you have some of it now. Are you living in such a way as to honor and glorify God? But here's what I want. This is a picture of what someone would do to perform good works. And I love the fact that Jesus speaks here and he says, For I was hungered. Now, before I finish on, I want you to read or listen to what it says in verse 40. At the end of this, it says, "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." Yet he goes through this saying, when I was hungered, when I was thirsty. If you're a child of God, the Spirit of Christ dwells within you. It is him. We are helping one another. We are laborers together in God's vineyard. We're helping one another. "For when I was hungered, you gave me meat. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink." Have you ever helped someone that was hungry or thirsty? And I don't mean you give the United Way $1,000 so they could go out and feed the hungry. You know, the Bible tells us if we're to follow Jesus Christ in a way that pleases him, it's going to take some sacrifice. And you got to deny yourself. The easiest thing you can do in life is to write a check to someone. And that's all right some of the time. Don't get me wrong. There's a need for that. But when it comes to the point that all you ever do is write a check and don't sacrifice any time, I don't believe you're doing what God called on us to do as we were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You know, a lot of times we don't want to make the sacrifice, so we write the check and say we've done our duty. But I believe there's nothing more gratifying to the soul than to go out there and actually help somebody on occasion that needs help, to give them what they stand in need of. He says, "I was a stranger and you took me in." You know, we live in a world now that most people won't take a stranger in, of no kind. But the Bible tells me that love, perfect love, casteth out fear. You know, if we have the almighty love of Jesus Christ dwelling within us, we ought to not fear what man can do unto us. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain, right? I mean, we ought to walk around and live in fear. The Bible tells us that we ought to entertain strangers, that we might be entertaining angels unaware. Here he says, I, Jesus Christ, he's speaking about himself. I was a stranger and you took me in. I tell you what, you start reading this and look at the eyes, it brings chill bumps to you, doesn't it? I was a stranger and you took me in. It was Jesus Christ. He goes on and he says, naked and you clothed me. I was sick. Have you ever went and visited somebody sick and had any idea that you might have seen part of Christ there? That Christ was dwelling in them? I tell you what, think about it. For every child of God, the Spirit of God dwells within them. I believe this is a picture of a person that's doing good works. When you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. No different than if you went to the hospital to see Jesus Christ lying in the bed. Jesus Christ walking down the road having no clothes. That's the very picture of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. He made great sacrifices to help that man. That's what good works are. That's what works glorify our Father which art in heaven. That's how you let your light so shine in such a dark and perverse world. But God will richly bless you. You think, I don't have time. Yes, you have time. You have a lot more time than you think you have. You know, we can arrange our time to do a lot of things. He goes on, he says, I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Jesus Christ was in prison. Isn't that an amazing thing? Brother Larry could talk a little about that. When he talked about them old brethren and the singing from the heart, when you'd listen in the prison that he was in, and in the night they begin to sing psalms unto the Lord. That's singing from the heart. They're in a place that you and I haven't been, and maybe we don't understand. But yes, he said, I was in prison, and you came unto me. This is a picture of a child of God created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We don't talk a lot about works, but we ought to be out there because of what Jesus Christ done to us, doing everything we can to help our brothers and sisters. Those that are hungry, feed them. It sounds good, but are we doing it? Are we reaping the almighty blessings of God? You know, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. We can't outgive the Lord. We can't. We might bless someone else, but the Lord will outbless us. He will give to us things that we never imagined. Jesus said in John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, as Brother Larry spoke of. But what I think a lot of people understand is that the only peace you're really ever going to have in this life and in this world is when you're connected with Jesus Christ. You can try to have peace in every other avenue, but you won't ever find it. Here we have, I believe, a description of someone. For months, the parable of the talents, to some degree, has been on my mind, and it's in this same chapter. It tells us of an ability that you were given. I don't know what your ability was. I don't know if you had an extreme ability, an average ability, or a minimal ability. It doesn't really matter. God gave you an ability, and God grants you opportunities in this world. Those two servants that went out and gained five and gained two, those five opportunities and those two opportunities, those doors that were open, they went through them. You know what I found in the world today is when somebody does something, a lot of times in the church or even out in the world, after they've done it a while, they get tired of it and they decide, I'm not doing it no more. I've done my duty. Let somebody else do it. But you can't find a scripture in the Word of God that'll back that up, I promise you. Not a one. You know, when we begin to compare ourselves to others, we're missing the boat. We've always got to focus upon Jesus Christ. You see, they were faithful over a few things, those two servants, and God added to their plate. Until we die, We don't just decide one day we've had it and we're walking out the door and we ain't doing that no more. That's not scriptural. God says he will give you the grace necessary. My grace is sufficient for thee. We can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. We can do it. But oftentimes we want to close the door. Those opportunities are doors of opportunities. Are we going through them with the sole purpose of manifesting God's love to us by honoring and glorifying his holy and righteous name? That's what we ought to be doing. We really should. Grace is a beautiful message, and grace will carry you and I to heaven. But there's something that God has called upon you and I to do here in this life. And it's to help those in any way that we can. There's a number of ways we spoke of in Matthew 25 this morning that is a picture of good works of a child of God who's manifesting his love for his Savior. We're great sinners and we have a great Savior in Jesus Christ. Let's honor his name. Let's live in such a way that we help folks any opportunity that we have. This is how you have real joy and real peace in this dark and perverse world that we live in. You know who Jesus chastised in the parable of the talents? It wasn't the fact that the one talent servant didn't go out and get 5 or 10 or 20 talents. It's the fact that he didn't do nothing. He didn't do nothing. He got tired. He blamed it on fear. I'm just little old me. I can't do anything. What difference would I make? Or I've done this for a while. I ain't doing it no more. We've got every kind of excuse and justification there is in the world. The Lord says, when you continue to labor in his vineyard, live and labor in his vineyard, he's going to add to your plate. You can rest when you go to heaven, as Brother George used to say. You can sleep when you go to heaven. When we're in the presence of Almighty God, our labors upon this earth will be done. But because of what Jesus Christ done for you and I, because he loved us in spite of our sinfulness, in spite of the fact that we were his enemies, we didn't love him. We didn't want anything to do with him. And he's promised us a life here that ought to be rich and full. And part of that richness and fullness is going out and ministering unto others and fulfilling the needs and necessities of those who have less than we do. If you've been blessed in that way, you know, you don't have to have a lot to give. You can encourage folks. When you go to visit someone in prison or someone that's sick, it just takes some of your time, doesn't it? It doesn't take any of your money. It means you may have to give up something you like to do in this world, but you can't believe how great a blessing it is to them. But after you've went and done those things, you can't believe how great a blessing it is to you. Matter of fact, I'll say you'll get the bigger blessing out of it. When you get to go see those folks who can't get out of the nursing homes anymore, folks who are locked in walls, and you know, we have a tendency to believe that we'd never be there. But friends, I'm telling you, don't say where you wouldn't be and what you wouldn't do. If you hadn't walked in those shoes, you don't know. Any one of us could be there if it wasn't for the grace of Almighty God. Let us be a people that has compassion, a people that help other people because of the love we have for the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our all in all. He is our hope for heaven. He is our hope today, tomorrow, and every day that we live. And we can have a happy life, a full life, a life filled with joy. We're all sinners, but we have a Savior that is far greater than our sins. And it's unto him that we look. May God bless us to always live and labor in his kingdom and not just idly sit by and produce one excuse after the other for not doing anything. Or to stop doing things that we might have once done because we're tired. We begin to compare ourselves to others and believe that they ought to take up and do what that is, or whatever it is we're doing. When we compare ourselves to Jesus Christ, we'll never stop. As long as he gives us the strength to go on, that's what we'll do. We'll help others who are in need. And I tell you what, God will bless you. He'll richly bless you. May God bless you is my prayer this morning.